Welcome to the official podcast of Apostolic Lighthouse. We'd like to thank you for listening today. We pray this message blesses you and encourages you to see that God is working in your life. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, everyone. You may be seated. It's so good to see everybody in the house of God today. And whether you know it or not, this is the best decision you could have made for your day and for the start of your week today, is to be in the presence of the Lord. And I'm so thankful to be here today. Well, as everyone knows, the weather has been colder than usual these last couple of weeks. And I work downtown, and in order to get into my building, you have to walk through this narrow passageway, and it's like a wind tunnel. And I would argue that the temperature through this passageway is easily 10 degrees less than the temperature it is actually outside. The wind whistles and it whips and it chills you to the bone first thing in the morning. And so I took matters into my own hands and I ordered these. Don't judge me, okay? No secondhand embarrassment. I'm going to show you. Earmuffs. If we were in the South, they would say, bless her heart, is she okay? Is there something wrong with her? Here's the deal. These look strange in California. And to anyone else, they're like, what is her deal? But if you knew the background, I am prone to full-blown ear infections. If I get a gust of air hitting my ear just right, and it messes with my equilibrium so badly that I start walking into walls. So for me, this is my attempt to protect my health. Sin, it is sickness to the soul. And it can compromise the health of our walk with God. And if left unchecked, it can make us spiritually sick, and it can ultimately destroy us. You know, when we were young, my dad used to take us to the bowling alley during the summertime, like get the kids out of the house. My mom probably needed a break. And so he would take us to the bowling alley. And did you know how I got a strike every single time we played? Two tips. Write these down if you need to. One, I told the staff member to put the guardrails up. And two, I bowled granny style. If any of you don't know what that is, it's hunch over, two hands right down the middle, and bingo, you'll get a strike every single time, okay? Yep, let me tell you, if those guardrails were up, I was unstoppable. Well, as dads do, they want to challenge you a little bit, and they want to push their children to be better. And so at some point during our game, my dad asked the staff member to put the guardrails down. And can you believe the moment those guardrails came down, so did my winning streak? Like, I was not only not hitting a pin, my ball kept finding its way into the gutter, and some old codger three rows over was like, gutter ball, take it easy, grandpa. Just kidding, I didn't say that. But I sure thought it. Mind your own business, Grandpa. The walls know I got a gutter ball, okay? When it comes to our walk with God, guardrails are so important because they protect our aim, they protect our focus, they protect our path, they protect our purpose, and our spiritual man. Now let's talk about it. What are these guardrails? Well, it's praying every day. It's reading your Bible every day. It's coming to the church every time the doors are open. It is being putting God first in your tithes and your offerings, and it is fasting when you are up against an impossible situation. Amen. Well, let's venture back to the bowling alley for a second. By the way, if I never go to another bowling alley again for the rest of my life, it will be soon enough. It just really wasn't my vibe, but let's go back for just a second. You know those shoes that you rent that 100 other people have worn and they sanitize? Okay, I don't know. Well, whether or not I've got those guardrails up, if you step over that line and onto the lane, it's really slippery. And if you don't believe me, just try. It's like ice skating in those shoes that 10 to 100 other people have worn. Even with the guardrail protections in place, sometimes my foot is going to slip. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again." Proverbs 3:26 says, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken." Man. Falling is not failing. And guess what? It's pretty easy to recover when I do trip and when I do fall, because I know to watch my step over there. I know with those people I got to be careful, or with that app or with that game or with that website or with that store or with that place. We wonder why we're staying stuck, or why we can't pull away, move up, move out, or move on. In my heart, I want to be at church when those doors are open, but Sunday morning, it's just so hard to get out of my warm, cozy bed, and so I missed another service. Or I had every intention of being there for Bible study Thursday night, but I just didn't leave it enough time, and I didn't make it, and I missed it again. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, growth and momentum in our lives, it's going to require change and improvement. And until you commit to setting up guardrails in your life daily to protect your spiritual man, to protect your most valuable asset, your soul, it will be hard to break away from the people, the places, and the things that we really need to separate ourselves from. These spiritual guardrails need to be non-negotiables in your life. I think that we can all agree, unless you're fasting for something and pushing the plate away, that not eating throughout your day is not negotiable. I don't know about you, but if I don't have something by like 9 a.m., I'm ready to pass out. Like, might as well, like, it's, and there's, I just need to lay my head down on my desk and go to sleep. Not eating's not negotiable, right? We need food to survive. We need food to feel good. For some, your day's not complete unless you've scrolled through social media and see what everybody else is up to. It could be 11:59 and you have work tomorrow, but I got to get on my social and see what everyone's doing. Some of you will not go to sleep until you've had your workout. Because why? It's non-negotiable. It's important to you. It's a commitment that you've made that you are simply unwilling to break. It's a habit. And you know, you might be thinking, well, of course I work out. These muscles aren't going to build themselves. I have to keep my body in shape. I have to be strong. That's fine. But your spiritual man is weak. Like, if I showed you your spiritual man not only doesn't do leg day, he just doesn't do the day. If you just flick at him, he'll fall over. He's frail. Physical strength, it's not going to save you. The weapons of our warfare, the Bible says, are not carnal or physical, but mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. So we've got to get consistent, dedicated to, and habitual about praying and being faithful to the house of God and reading our Bible every single day. And somebody might be thinking, this is so basic. Reading my Bible, praying, going to church, basic. Yeah, it's basic, but you don't do it. And you wonder why you can't break free from those things that you know you should just lay down at the feet of Jesus and surrender all.
Amen.
You know, a study was done over a significant period of time with a significant population of people studying the effects of reading your Bible. And it was interesting because the results showed that for people that read their Bible once or twice a week, there really wasn't any impact on the study. And then they looked at people that read their Bible 3 times a week, and they saw a blip in the radar, but it's like, okay, we saw a little bit of a nudge, it moved the needle a little bit, but the results. results are still kind of inconclusive. When participants started reading their Bible four times a week or more, listen to these statistics. Loneliness went down 30%. Anger went down 32%. Bitterness in relationships with loved ones went down by 40%. Feeling spiritually stagnant went down by 60%. Alcoholism went down 47%. And watching porn went down 61%. Because you know why? Let's revisit these again. If I'm lonely and I open up my Bible, I know that He will never leave me nor forsake me.
Yes.
If I'm angry and I open up my Bible, I know that it says to be angry and sin not. If I'm bitter and I open up my Bible, I know that it says, and there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness.
Yes.
If I'm an alcoholic and I open up my Bible, oh, how wonderful to hear that. But the one who drinks of the water I give, Jesus says, will never thirst again.
Yes.
If I'm feeling spiritually stagnant and I open up my Bible, I know that God is going to fan into flame the gifts that He has given me. And if I am struggling with watching porn or things that I shouldn't, and I open up my Bible, it says, don't set any wicked thing before your eyes.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Here's the sneaky thing about addictions. They're often private, right? Because we really, it's not like we're standing on a corner with a car wash sign telling people what we're up to. Addictions are my business and I've got it under control. See, that's nothing but a trick of the enemy. Honey, you don't have your addiction under control. Your addiction has you under control.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but I will not bow a knee to anything. I hate. Like, are you ever in a conversation? I work in customer service, so I'm in conversations sometimes. And if they get upset at me, if I get upset because they're upset, they won. I've just turned over control, right? Because their bad behavior made me behave badly. No. Addiction, you don't got it. Oh, no, it's just a little here and there, and I decide when and where and how. Oh, no, honey, you keep going back to it. The only thing that can set us free is the presence of God, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God. If you need to break free from anything, you better crack open that Bible. The things of God are not hard to grasp. Whether you're 8 or 80, it makes sense.
Yes.
That's why children can memorize scripture and be lights on their little campuses where they go to school. It's easy. And it's the sooner we learn these spiritual guardrails, they are going to protect our lives, they're going to protect our present, and they're certainly going to protect our future.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to share something personal with you. If you thought this was personal, well, here we go. It's really only been about 5 or 6 years since I started reading my Bible every single day. You're the pastor's daughter and you weren't reading your Bible every day? Nope. I can tell you exactly which shelf it was on in my bedroom. And every time it was time to clean my room, I would dust off my Bible too. Only been about 5 or 6 years since I started reading it every day. But let me tell you something, that one change, that one carving out some time to open the Word of God, because the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yes.
It completely transformed my perspective, my faith, my hope, and my trust. And it speaks to the exact season of life that you're in, down to the day that you had. You don't believe me, crack it open, I'll tell you what. Because it is alive.
Yes.
And you know what else? Admission number two. Only recently did I start carving out time every evening to bow my knee before God in prayer. And you know what I used to say before that? Well, I talk to God all throughout the day. it's a constant conversation. He's never not hearing from me. I talk to him when I'm driving. I talk to him in my workday. It's a constant conversation. Okay, well, that's fine. But if I'm texting my mom all throughout the day and I never actually make time to go see her face to face, is that much of a relationship? Or if you speak with your spouse on the phone a couple times throughout the day, but you don't go home at the end of the day, is that much of a relationship? We have got to take time to just meet with the creator of the universe face to face, one on one. TV off. Really? You can't find the power button? Turn it off. Put your cell phone in another room. No distractions. Just spend time with your Father.
Praise God.
And if I'm not speaking during that time, I'm listening. Take a breath. Believe me, He will speak to your mind, to your heart, to your soul. Guess what? Your home's going to be more peaceful because prayer's happening in it.
Yes.
Your home's going to be more peaceful because instead of the roar of the TV, you're spending some time with your Savior. Without these guardrails in place, we keep going back and returning to and revisiting stuff that is lifeless and stuff that is dead. We keep consuming and partaking of things that we shouldn't because we're longing to feel full, but only Jesus will ever satisfy. Because He is the answer to every question, to everything. Jesus is the answer.
Praise God.
John, thank you, Jesus. Let's look at John 5:39. He tells us right here, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You want to learn about Jesus? Search the scriptures. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Yes.
We heard the statistics. All of these struggles seem to somehow miraculously go down when we spend time in the Word. The Word, if we hide into our heart, it will protect us from sinning against Him. Thank you, Jesus. That's so good. Okay. But we know better. And we don't do it. And why? Maybe we're afraid to look different than our peers or even to our own family who we're living with. To act different. You think, if I put those guardrails up, I'll look like you, Jessica, with those earmuffs on. Little bit interesting, okay? Little bit against the grain. But can I tell you something? Your salvation, it's your journey. It's your experience. And when you stand before God, you won't be standing with the people that you're worried about impressing. You'll be standing alone. And you never know what your journey, how that might be a testimony to somebody else, because people are always watching. We have to protect our soul and our salvation at all costs. And I don't care what it looks like, what it sounds like, how it makes other people feel. If my pursuit of Jesus Christ makes you uncomfortable, it's possible that we're not for each other anymore. If the company that you keep distracts you or detracts you from your purpose and from your Creator, then you're in the wrong crowd. Jesus has got to be the most important being in our lives. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or else he will hold to the one and he will despise the other. We've got to pick a lane, and then we've got to go all in. Guardrails up. And you know what's ahead, what those bowling pins represent? They represent purpose, favor, direction, peace, and blessing. And I don't know about you, but I want to strike out every time and get everything that God has for me.
Yes.
And God, help us not to be in the way. Thank God. You know, lately my prayer has been, God, help nothing to stand in my way, not even me. Because truly, sin can't separate you. The enemy of your soul can't separate you. The only one that can separate you from Jesus is you. So God, help nothing to stand in the way of your plan and your purpose for my life, not even me.
Yes.
You know, our church theme for this year is 2024, the year of Jubilee. I want it all back.
Yep.
You want it all back? Are your spiritual guardrails up? Are you putting God first? You're not going to get it all back doing what you did last year or the year before that. We have got to be more. We have got to do more. And to position ourselves for the promise, we need to have a posture of readiness and great expectation as we prepare for the answer. We cannot sit back this year and just expect blessings to drop into our lap. You know, there's a pretty amazing story in Scripture in the book of Nehemiah. The city of Jerusalem had been taken under siege, and the surrounding wall of the city was destroyed, and its gates were burned by fire. Now, it's not like, you know, if the city of Norwalk gate was burned today and destroyed, that there would be a big uproar. They would just replace it probably in the next 7 business days. But back in that time, a surrounding wall meant destruction of that wall meant vulnerability. And it meant that they were open for wars and to be taken over.
Yeah.
Well, one man, Nehemiah, prayed to God, and God heard him for restoration. And Nehemiah was granted permission to return to Jerusalem under the order of the king with protection to rebuild that wall. Nehemiah 2:18 says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Now, God, who spoke the universe into existence, who created the heavens and the earth, who created you, could have just restored the gates of Jerusalem with one word. He could have just spoke the restoration into existence, but he didn't. He gave Nehemiah and the others the opportunity to rebuild, but they had to pick up the stones. In this year of Jubilee, mark my word, as the Lord God lives, God has blessed the rebuild. He's gone ahead and he's authorized the restoration. But you keep tripping over the rubble, and it is time to pick up the stones. You mean I've got to work at this? Since when did you ever appreciate anything that was handed to you? The relationship with God, it's a partnership. It's two-sided and engaging. He wants to work with you and through you so that you can be ready to step into your purpose, his plan, and his way. Don't sit idle this year. You know, Pastor said, well, it's almost March. Fine. It's a thriving and blessed year. And when I get to December, I'm going to say, don't I have a testimony? Because I was ready. I was positioned. I was in his purpose and in his plan. And I have guardrails up because I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. So many people are standing around like, I'm just waiting on God to move. Yeah, no, what are you doing? I'm waiting on God to move. And he's up in heaven ready to make it rain, and he's waiting on us to move. What actions can you take that will better position you to receive what God has for you? Am I putting God first? If I can honestly say yes, then get ready, because you're not only going to get it all back, but when God does it, he gives you more. He gives you more. He gives you more than what was taken away. So we've got to make some room for abundance, and we have got to make room and plan for the overflow. And we've got to prepare the storehouses for the increase, for God to show up and show out, because that's how he does it. Impossible made possible. Dreams becoming a reality. Doors that only God can open by his grace and for his glory. So I challenge you today not to let another day go by without carving out time. Because what are these guardrails really? It's spending more time with your Creator. And the more time we're with Jesus, the further away we get from the world, the less the things of the world make sense, the less addictions have a hold on us, so that we can be positioned to receive everything that he has for us. God bless you.
What an incredible message. Thank you again for joining us on the podcast, and may God bless you.